If you'd open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4, we continue in our study of 1 Peter. And last week we looked at the importance of loving one another. In fact, Peter said we're to love each other deeply. And one way that we can love deeply was to forgive each other. Well, another way that we can love each other is to serve each other. And this is really the topic that we're going to cover today. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 11. In 1 Peter 4, Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We want to look at five things today that we can learn about service. And so number one is this, is that we're to serve according to our spiritual gift or gifts. We see this in verse 10, where Peter says each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. Notice that Peter says here, each of you, not some of you, but each of you. He's writing a general letter to the body of Christ. And he says, each of you, use your gift. The truth is, if you are in Christ today, if you are a believer in Jesus, then you have a spiritual gift, or perhaps more than one gift. Everyone has a gift. Now you may say, but I don't know what my gift is. How do I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, there are some tests. I know Christians have put out these spiritual gift tests that you can take, and they're okay to do, but my counsel would be this, would be to read the Word of God and then obey it. Read the Word of God and apply what you read to your life. Live out what you read. And as you do that, I believe the Holy Spirit, who's the one who gives you the gift and determines the gift, he will guide you in your gifting. The Spirit will reveal that to you as you walk with God, as you simply be obedient to the commands of God. God will show you where your gifting is. Well, what are some of the gifts? Well, thankfully, we have some scripture passages that show us what those gifts are. You heard this morning in our scripture reading out of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul listed many gifts there. We find some more gifts in Romans 12 as well. Let's look at that. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul here says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I believe Paul could go on and on if he wanted to. This is not an exhaustive list of all the spiritual gifts that are out there, but we find many listed. And the key thing to keep in mind here is that there is a variety of gifts. There are different gifts. We don't all simply have the same gift. We're not a cookie cutter kind of Christians. God has gifted us in different kinds of ways. But did you notice that many of the gifts are commands that we find in Scripture? For example, one of the gifts listed here is encouragement. And yet we find Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and he says to them in general, encourage one another. This is something that we all should do. We find here also the gift of mercy. And yet what did Jesus tell his disciples? He told them to be merciful because your heavenly Father is merciful. So what we find here is that many of the gifts are commands that we all should do. But it's like God gives an extra measure of grace or ability in certain areas to certain people. And this is all empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is the idea of spiritual gifts. It's as if God says, here you go. I'm giving you this gift. I want you to steward it well. This is what Peter says back in our passage in verse 10. He says, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In other words, God's grace is displayed in so many ways through the working of the gifts. And you're to administer that gift. If God has given you a gift, don't let it get dormant. Don't put it in that closet. No, use it. Use it for God's glory. Use it for the kingdom of God. So what we see here is that, number one, there are all kinds of gifts. Every believer has at least one gift, and we're to be using that gift, keeping in mind that were it not for God's grace, we wouldn't have the gift. God doesn't look at us and say, boy, you're really smart. You're very intellectual and intelligent. I'm going to give you a gift. Or you have a really good heart. Here's a gift. No, it's solely by grace that any of us have any gift at all. Well, number two is real important. It's that our gift is there to serve others. The main purpose of the gifts is to serve others. We see this again back in verse 10 of 1 Peter. He says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. That's the goal of the gift. If you think God has given you a gift so you can stand up and pound your chest and let everybody know what gift you have, or maybe you hope that when the church picnic comes up, you'll win the award for the most gifted Christian, you're missing the boat. You're missing the point. Gifts are not for us. Gifts are for other people. This is what is taught in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Let's look at that. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, or really for the entire body. It's about blessing the body. Spiritual gifts are for the edification of the body. Gifts are not so we can say, wow, look at Bill. No, they're there so we can say, wow, look at what God is doing in and through Bill. Because I knew Bill back in the day. I knew Bill when he was in his 20s. And if you were to tell me back then that today Bill would be working with the homeless, filled with mercy, just pouring his life into these people, expecting nothing in return, I'd say, you're crazy, you're nuts, because Bill was all about himself back then. What a change happened in him. It's God. God is working through Bill. And this is what we need to understand about spiritual gifts. There was a hymn that we would sometimes sing growing up in church. Maybe some of you did too. It was called Make Me a Blessing. Remember that song? Make Me a Blessing. Very simple song, but this is the mindset we need to have when it comes to spiritual gifts. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing to someone else today. This is the idea of gifts. And yet so often our focus in 21st century American Christianity is about how we can be blessed. Oh, if you just do these seven simple steps, you'll be blessed. Oh, blessings will just fall down upon your lap, overflowing with blessings. Bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. And certainly it's good to be blessed by God. Don't misunderstand me. But often that's the focus. It's how we can be blessed. But spiritual gifts teaches this. How can I bless others with the gift that God has given me? Well, if you find yourself consumed with how many blessings you can receive rather than give, let me remind you of what Jesus once did. He got up from a very important meal, and he took a towel and he wrapped it around his waist, and he grabbed a basin and he filled it with water, and he got down on his knees, really beneath his disciples even, lower than his disciples. and he began to wash their feet in service. And as he was washing their feet, he didn't say, "Now tell me, John, what have you done for me lately?" He didn't say, "Peter, now you promise me you won't deny me in the next 24 hours. If you make me that promise, then I'll go ahead and wash your feet." He didn't say, Andrew, man, where have you been? Did you take a shortcut through the cow pasture again? Because your feet stink and I'm skipping over you and I'm going right to James. He didn't do that. He washed their feet. He served them, not expecting anything in return, not looking at them at all. And then he would go on to say this: "No servant is greater than his master. Because if I, your Lord and master and teacher, if I have washed your feet, so you too must wash one another's feet." What was Jesus saying? As I have served you, I want you to serve others with the same attitude, with the same humility, with the same grace. Serve in that manner. Serve like Jesus. Serve others. Well, number three is with gladness. We're told in the Psalms that we're to serve the Lord with gladness. Let's look at what verse 9 says again back in our passage. 1 Peter says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." We're told in the Scriptures that we should do all things without grumbling or complaining. Philippians 2:14, do all things. And so hospitality would come under the heading of all things, wouldn't it? Be one of those things. And so this means that whether we are preaching a sermon or leading a Bible study or working with a youth or scrubbing a toilet, we're to do it without complaining, without murmuring, without grumbling. Again, here Peter speaks of hospitality. And we may look at certain people and say, "Well, that person has the gift of hospitality." And you can tell, right? Some people, they're just, it's like Jesus just shines through them when they're being hospitable to others. And they have that gift. But yet, we're all commanded to be hospitable. Here by Peter, he says, offer hospitality without complaining. Paul would write to the Romans and tell the believers in general, he would tell them this: practice hospitality. Do it. Now, one thing we need to keep in mind is that things were a little bit different back then than they are today when it comes to hospitality. Back in the day, in the first century, there were not a host of hotels and motels like we have today. Today, if you were to take a trip somewhere, and let's say I was going to Connecticut, and let's suppose I broke down on the way, there's a real good chance that I would be able to find a hotel within 20 miles or so and be able to spend the night there. Even if it was a busy time in that particular city and maybe one hotel was booked up, I could probably find some place to rest my head for the night. Back then, it wasn't that easy. Those hotels, or what we call inns, there just wasn't that many of them. And so what would often happen was, as people traveled, they would stay in homes. They would find maybe an acquaintance or a relative. Maybe I've got a long-lost cousin, a third cousin once removed, that I could find out is going to be in this area. I'm going to go there and I'm going to stay at his house. And that's how it would happen back then. And as the gospel was being spread, you would seek out another believer. And you might go to them and ask if you could stay in their home for the night. And so as a believer, it was very possible also that someone would be knocking on your door and saying, hey, Bruce, I know James, he's the next town over, and he told me he knows you. You know James, right? Shake your head, yes. You know James, and I grew up with James, and he said it'd be okay if I stayed at your house for the night. Bruce, what do you say? You say, yeah, you offer hospitality and you don't complain about it, right? You don't say, man, who is this kook? I can't afford this. I can't afford to feed this guy. You just do it without complaining. That's the idea of what's being taught here. Well, that was then. this is now. How does this apply to us today? Because our culture is a lot different. Well, we're still to offer hospitality. Now, people probably aren't going to knock on our doors and say, hey, can I stay for the night? If they are, we may actually be a little bit cautious today with the way things are. But at times, we have missionaries that will be in town, and sometimes they're looking for a home to stay in. And some of you have offered up your homes, and it's been a blessing. I've spoken to those people. It's been a blessing for you to open up their homes for them. And that's one way to do that. But a main way probably is just simply to have an open door policy. In other words, have your home a place where people can come, maybe share a meal, maybe just sit down for a cup of coffee. Maybe you can fellowship together. And this is something that our culture is really getting away from, isn't it? This because we just want to be to ourselves, right? Maybe just watch the news or watch whatever and just call it a night. And I know I'm guilty of just not opening up our home enough to other people and just having people in and enjoying fellowship, being hospitable. So we're called to do that. But remember this, that serving others means that you want to bless others. Jesus said what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we're to do this cheerfully. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. Well, number four is we're to serve with God's strength. We see this again in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. He says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. By now, you ought to be seeing a common thread, and that is spiritual gifts are not about us. And so if we spend a lot of time talking about what we do and all the energy we put in and how tired we are serving, then we need to ask ourselves, you know, why is that? We need to ask ourselves, am I relying on God's strength and God's wisdom, or am I relying on my strength and my wisdom to do what God has called us to do? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, 28 and 29. This is in regards to proclaiming the gospel and establishing the church. Paul says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or complete in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all what? His energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul's heart was to be a servant to the body of Christ. He wanted to see his fellow believers mature in their faith. And yet he knew this, that as he labored, even as he struggled, it was God. It was God working so powerfully in him. Paul also knew this, that when he was weak, it was really then that he was really strong. Because when Paul was at his weakest moment, he knew that it was then that he had to rely on the power of God, the grace of God, the sufficiency of God to do what God had called him to do. Paul knew this, that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And sometimes in ministry, we get it all backwards. We look at people and we want the people who have it all together, right? The people who never appear, quote, weak. The people who never seem to have any struggles. And yet when you read the scriptures, what do you find? God uses the weak. God uses those who struggle. God uses those who need to just simply depend upon God. They know that they've got nothing. And so they're like Isaiah, who said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But Lord, here I am. Lord, just take me and use me for your glory. Which leads us to number five. It's for God's glory. The gifts are for God's glory. We see this at the end of our passage. Peter says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. In your bulletins each week in the bottom left side, you'll find this phrase. It's, we seek to know God that we might, so that we might glorify him. And my prayer is that a church, as a church body, as a family of believers, we would never ever lose sight of the destination or the goal of glorifying God in all that we do. This really flies in the face of our culture, doesn't it? Because our culture is all about me, isn't it? It's a culture that is just absorbed with selfishness and self-glorification and self-centeredness and all these things. A culture that longs for the praise of men. A culture that can't wait to check its Facebook to see how many likes they just got on their last post. But as Paul once said, if I seek to please men, I'm not a servant of Christ. And so we must decide, and decide every day. What am I living for? Who do I seek to glorify through my life? And what are my motives as I serve? And so as a pastor, I need to ask myself every day, what is my life about? Is my desire to pour into the sheep? As Jesus told Peter, feed the sheep. Tend my flock. It is my desire to pour truth into your lives so that you will grow and you'll look more like Jesus? Or is my desire simply for the praise of men? If your gift is teaching, is it to show off your knowledge? If your gift is administration, is it to show off your organizational skills? If it is singing, is it for you to be heard? If it is helping, is it for you to be noticed? Why? Why do we do what we do? This is something we need to ask ourselves every day. God, help us to be a people who glorify him. God, help us to be a people who have the heart of the Apostle Paul. Let's look at what he says. Our final scripture today is out of Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Answer, no one. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. As we close today, the most important thing I need to share with you is that what we all need more than a spiritual gift or possessing a spiritual gift is possessing the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if we do not have the Spirit of Christ, if we do not belong to Christ. And so if we're not a believer, then we have no Holy Spirit, therefore we have no spiritual gift at all. So all this is really not too important to you if you're not even a Christian. You've got to start at point one, which is to know Christ, which is to embrace Christ. The most important gift you need today is the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one good, no one righteous, no one who understands, no one who seeks God. We're all in the same boat when it comes to sin. We've all fallen short, and the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Not just physical death, but an eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. That's what my sins deserve. That's what I ought to be paid from God. That's justice for God to give me eternity in hell because of my sins. Those are the wages that should come to me and wages that should come to you. But the good news is this, that there's one who came, the perfect Son of God, who came and went to a cruel cross. He bore your sins there. He bore the punishment in your place so that you could be forgiven. You could be cleansed. You could be made whole, made new by his grace. And so today, if you've never come to Christ, if Christ is not in your life, if you don't possess Jesus, the most important thing you need today is Jesus in your life. And you can have him by turning to him in repentance and faith and trusting in him to save you. And he will. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your role in spiritual gifts. You determine the gifts. Lord, you empower the gifts. So Lord, help us to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for any gift that we have. It is not of us, it is of you. And Lord, help us to be mindful of others. Lord, how we can bless other people. Lord, help us not to be dormant with our gifts. Let them go dormant, Lord. But help us to be active. Help us to just fan into flame those gifts that you've put in each of us as believers. Lord, forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for our pride. Lord, all those things that hinder the use of the gifts. And Lord, we ask that you'd be glorified. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in this church. Until you come, we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.